Dude, I just found out that my kid's been biting rabbits again.
Oh yeah? He caught him in the yard, eh? That's good fun.
Good fun? He hasn't had a rabies shot in 3 years. I'm afraid he's going to get sick.
Don't worry so much. He's a tough boy. He can take it.
I don't think tough has anything to do with it. His nails only get clipped every 6 months, and his teeth haven't been brushed all year. I think I should take him in for a checkup.
Nah, I can tell he's healthy just by looking at him. He's fine. Go get that rabbit, buddy. If he looks good, he is good.
Okay, that's not good parenting advice, and it's not good advice for your pets either. If it's been a while since the last time you had your pet in for a checkup, it's time to contact Westfield Veterinary Hospital in Johnston. At Westfield, our team of trained and compassionate veterinary medical professionals will care for your pet like it was our own, and will help you determine the services that are right for your pet and your pocketbook. Call us today to set up an appointment at 515-986-5738 or find us online at westfieldvethospital.com.
Dude, your kid just took a bad fall, but he's licking the wound clean. It'll heal in no time. Way to go, champ!
You're a dangerous, dangerous man.
Westfield Veterinary Hospital in Johnston. 515-986-5738 or find us online at westfieldvethospital.com.
What are you smiling about?
I'm trying to sell my house and decided to skip the realtor and just put it up on the internet. I get to set my own price so I can get big money. Also, I get to write my own description.
Oh, for Pete's sake, what did you write? Palatial two-bedroom ranch? Seriously? Palatial?
That's how you play the game, bro.
Selling a house is not an excuse to become a word-twisting, price-gouging huckster. Your house will sell when it's the right house for the right person at the right price. Why don't you call Bob Eisenlauer with the Eisenlauer team? He can help you find the right price and get it in front of the right person for a smooth and speedy sale. You can contact Bob by giving him a call at 515-979-2883 or by going to EisenlauerTeam.com. Those guys are easy to work with and hard to beat.
Would it be fair to call my crawl space quaint and rustic? Bergmaner!
Oh, mercy. The Eisenlauer Team. 515-979-2883 or EisenlauerTeam.com.
Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here at Johnston proper. It's good to have you with us tonight. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. First of all, I'm Ben Foost. If we've not met before, I'd shake your hand, but you're Jeremy. That's what I know about you.
How you doing?
Here's what we got going on the show tonight. We've got a lot of stuff packed in. So we had some stuff planned last week for John Acuff in the studio. And we just didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We got some secular versus Solomon. The name of the game is this. Can you tell biblical wisdom from worldly wisdom, right? If you hear a cute quip that someone's got on their desk calendar, can you like, oh, the Lord Jesus said that, or it could be Ben Franklin. And if we don't know the difference, we got a problem. So secular versus Solomon, I will give you a bit of wisdom. You have to tell me whether it's a biblical bit of wisdom, Solomon-esque, or whether it's a secular bit of wisdom. And if it's secular, I want a country of origin. Where is this type of malfeasance coming from? It's probably the Russians.
I'll keep score.
Okay, Mike's keeping score. All right, so we're doing secular versus Solomon.
Mike keep score.
No. Mike's definitely keeping score. All Mike right. cheats.
That's a point for me for whining.
Also, we got some what's happening with Dan. There's stuff going on in the world. Dan, give me a quick preview of what's happening.
We got some very stressed out states. We have, you've all heard about Tracy Morgan and his serious accident.
Yep.
And then a teacher has a relationship with a 15-year-old and his dad takes a baseball bat to him.
To the boy?
To the teacher.
The teacher.
Four. Wait, did we discuss it already?
No. You can't vote yes yet.
Oh, that's a point for me.
Okay. We're going to get to that on what's happening with Dan. Also, we got a couple rounds of Pope-style advice. Preview on the Pope-style boo.
So the deal that I'm going with right now is I'm actually kind of going through another transformation of my own. I'm realizing that I have some things that I want that I don't think I'm ready for. And I realized that this week.
Okay.
Is it new underpants?
Yeah.
You gotta force your way in there.
Right, exactly. I realized that there's some new underpants that I'm looking for, and I don't know if I have the finances for it, and I don't know if I have the body type for it. I'm really working on both of those things. New job, new body. Let's do it.
Hey.
If they flow, you got to let them go. If they cling to the leg, they're A-okay. That didn't
make sense at all. No, well, I mean, it made plenty of sense. I suppose.
I had like 5 seconds. Give me a break.
That's not Solomon.
I'm going to go secular Ben Foost.
Okay. Also, hey, so my 7-year-old, we're reading Bible stories at night, and my 7-year-old daughter says, "Dad, I'm not sure whether I love God." And I thought, well, heck now. That's a business of a question. And so I'm going to tell you what I said. And fellas, if you could give me some help and see whether I've represented this correctly. This is a conversation that I feel like will continue to come up just because it's the nature of the topic. And so, you know, if you've run into this kind of thing, maybe help me out with some advice or just, you know.
I feel like I feel that way sometimes. I feel like me and your 7-year-old daughter have a lot in common.
Okay, so that was part of my answer. Yeah. So anyway, we'll get to that because that was just it was a great question, and I thought maybe I don't love Jesus because I thought that was a great question. But anyway, we'll talk through. I'll kind of tell you what I said. And you can give me some pointers on maybe how I can handle that because like that's a real life question right there from my 7-year-old. That isn't Daddy. Can Jesus tell me what's going to happen on my birthday? So we're going to talk about that. Also, there's some. We have some advice on Dear Life from the Path. What's going on this week.
We do.
Hey, just a big heads up. In case you're in the Iowa area, there's some festivals coming up. Me and Mike went out to Connections Fest in Norwalk, and it was very, very cool. And sometimes I forget because we meet some of the bands that come in, and we get them in the studio and come through town, and we don't often get to see them in their element, like hitting the stage and putting a show on. And these guys are working hard. I mean, they're out there doing the work. They're loving Jesus, and they're spending time away from their family trying to bring encouragement to people, and I don't know, support that kind of stuff. Collide Fest is coming up. That's a Point of Grace. Real Fest is in Carroll. That's towards the end of July. Bash on the Farm's coming up. Yeah. That's mid-June. Just Google that stuff. I don't need to tell you all about it, but just Google that stuff. It's stuff within the Des Moines area, Johnson area, and Ames Boone stuff that you can go check out and support those guys and be encouraged by people putting music on. And here's one of the thoughts. We were watching the Rhett Walker Band. Those guys were—they did a great job. The show was just awesome, and they're very cool guys. Have a real heart for Jesus. We were talking just a little bit after the show, and one of the things I was thinking was, as I was watching those guys, is thinking about what worship was in like David's time, and what worship looks like for us. And sometimes we want to fight about the instrumentation, we want to fight about the venue, we want to fight about how many guys are doing it, and as I was watching these guys and kind of listening to the lyrics and enjoying the show. It's just a heart deal. Like, are you worshiping God? Like, are you having an experience where you are coming to the throne of God in worship? Like, are you spending time with your Creator in that moment, in that environment? And like when we spend time fighting about all that other stuff, and like I'm with you, quality is important, and like you want to do things the right way, I guess, but like, you know, times change. Like, it's not the situation, music situation isn't the same as it was 100 years ago. It's not the same as 500 years ago. It's not the same in Missouri as it is here. It's not the same in Iraq as it is here. People can love Jesus in China and worship differently than we do. And so, like, I don't know, there was just it was a very pure moment for me, is thinking about worship in that arena, not necessarily being tied down to what is a evangelical worship experience in the United States. And sometimes we guard that idol pretty close as to what this is supposed to look like. And some of it's like, it's not bad to have it where like you do things the way other people do things because that's how you enjoy it, or like, that's okay. But like, as long as we're not, I don't know, caged animals fighting over it. And that was the experience for me. So anyway, go ahead and enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Those guys are working hard and they're doing a great job and they love Christ. All right. So, what do you guys want to fire up with? You want to start a, let's do the what's happening with Dan. Dan, what's going on in the world? What's happening?
All right. I got three things. We'll start out easy. This is a nice one. These are the top 5 stressed states. A new study looked at factors about such as commuting times, housing prices, number of hours worked per week. And the most stressed states were Florida, Georgia, New Jersey, California, Nevada. I don't know if it matters. North Dakota came in the very least, just under like us, Iowa, and Midwest states. Basically, both coasts are real stressed out. The Midwest is pretty relaxed. Here's the question. We talk a lot about balance in life, especially on our show. We talk about balance sometimes. What's the most important factor in living a stress-free life for you? All right. A, is it the physical? Get plenty of exercise, sleep, healthy diet, that stuff. B is that the spiritual, engage in the spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible study, fasting, so forth. Or C is that the emotional, take plenty of time off, think positive thoughts, watch comedies, whatever to make you relax. Now, I know it's supposed to be balanced, but what's the most important to you?
Man. Well, apparently, based on the study, it's not living near a coastline.
Yeah.
Right. Not having the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, when you were explaining that, I thought it's all the places with lots of people. That's where the stress is.
It's other people.
Yeah.
Other people stress me out.
There's a lot of people there that causes stress. That's the truth.
But honestly, you talk to everybody, they're all stressed out. It's like, how do you relax? How do you tell someone to, how do you relax? That's the question.
You know, I think I would. Here's the deal. Like, we're on a Jesus radio show, so I gotta say it's spiritual, right?
But no, here's, that's not the question. Answer.
Let me continue my answer, Dan. I phony my way through my spiritual life, and it relaxes me. you know, I don't know. I don't even know that I can answer that. Here's what I do know is that I know I don't feel stress coming on. I know when it's past its point, and then I can usually attribute that to not spending enough time with my family. And not spending enough time, you know, talking with people close to me and actually engaging in a relationship. And so I'm still going to borderline that on spiritual because, like, the only reason I even care about how I treat my family and how I treat other people around me is because of what Jesus said. Otherwise, like, if I'm being honest, in my own selfish gain, I don't care. I don't care if you're having a rough day or if things are stressful for me and I take it out on you. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. It matters to me because Christ said it matters to him. And, like, that's a change in me done by him. It's not a change that I've instituted on my own. So, I mean, my phony answer is spiritual, and then my actual answer is spiritual.
Okay.
Cheater.
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure how to follow that up. So I'm just going to go see the emotional health is the one that is big to me.
What do you find, like a stress ball? Or an animal that you can, you know, waylay?
Watch the Three Stooges
happened?
No. It's essentially, if the relationships in my life are in good condition, then I'm fine. But when relationships are out of balance, then that's when I'm going to be stressed. And that's when I feel like I need to go and try and fix this situation or whatever it is. Fix the person, maybe with a 2x4. I don't know what, but, you know, just...
XL Jim Duggan style.
Yeah, exactly. So,
With spiritual, it's my answer to it's relieve stress, but it also causes stress for me. When it comes to the spiritual portion, I can find myself less stressed if I'm actually engaging in my spiritual activity, if I'm honestly reading my Bible, if I'm honestly in prayer. But I also derive some of the most stress from that because I find myself so many times at fault not doing that, not in my Bible reading, not in my prayer life, and it causes me more stress. I'm realizing that I'm not involved in that. So it's kind of a stressor and a stress relief at the same time is probably my awful answer to that question. So B and not B.
That's awesome.
Jared Roy.
I think the center of my stress is, you know, translating it into worry. And that's worry about everything. That's worry about finances, worry about, you know, my good parent, that kind of stuff. So I think it's being able to lay that worry aside because that is one of my biggest stressors. I mean, it's just carrying the worry, you know, because my dad kind of instilled this worry gene in me, you know, that you concern yourself with absolutely everything around you, and then that way you know everything's handled.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I got some stuff in my place you need to fix. Things are out of hand.
So is it possible maybe Jesus had a better way?
Quite possibly.
just wondering.
There's no room for the gospel on this show, Dan.
I think that's it. We try to do things on our own. That usually gets us in trouble. Any one of these can get you out. If you're just out of balance, really, we should be in balance. I kind of, you know, poorly did the question to make you have to choose one. But you need some spiritual. You need some physical. You need some emotional support going in there. I don't even know how. I've tried to figure that out. Like, when Jesus says, cast your anxiety on me, how do you do that? I haven't figured that out. And I've taught on it, you know. Yeah, just cast it on Jesus.
That's the best way to learn is just teach it.
Yeah,
you know what? I have some Pope style advice that I think will help address that.
So awesome.
We'll hit that later in the show.
Good, good, good. Okay, here's the next one. This one's a little more serious. Tracy Morgan, a comedian in a serious accident. Everybody's been talking about it. His limousine was hit by a semi-trailer. The guy was up 24 hours ahead of time, so he wasn't really all with it and slammed into it. The thing rolled several times. One of Tracy Morgan's very good friends passed away. Tracy himself's in the hospital, all kinds of broken bones. They were talking amputation. I don't think they had to. And he'll be in there for quite some time. Now there's a lot of negative talk going on in the news about the truck driver and things he had on Twitter, like move or get hit. You know, it's like, well, that was before this happened, and so now they're saying, see, he did it. Anyway, it's a bad deal. Here's the question, though. How would you honestly respond as a Christ follower if you were in Tracy's situation?
Okay. I got something, and this is like an annoyance of mine, is that the whole, when everybody walks around saying, you know, hey, he made it out of there alive, God must have totally been with him. Yeah. You know, or all those kind of things. But in my mind, I look at it the other way, you know, that regardless of if he died in the accident or not, if he was a Christ follower, God was with him. But I hate that phrase, that blanket phrase of, oh man, somebody must have really been watching out for you.
Yeah, so like he wasn't if he didn't survive.
Right. I mean,
yeah, well, that's probably it, because the implicit on the other side is that, like, if he would have been more hurt, then it's like God turned his back on the situation and just kind of let it happen. And so, like, that's why that phrase is offensive, is not because of what it's implying, but what it's on the other side of what it's implying.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the question. I want you to put yourself, think of yourself as him. You have a promising career, you're wealthy, you have this entourage, you're in this limousine bus that you own, everything's going on, everything's great. How would you honestly respond as a Christ follower if you're in his situation? A, I would dream of ways to destroy the man's life while spending several weeks in the hospital. B, I would completely forgive the man and beg the court not to put him in jail. He's going to end up in jail. Or C, I would visit him in jail and do my best to lead the man to Christ.
I feel like I'm not encapsulated in any of those three options. I would become extremely depressive. I don't know that I would be upset at the man to the point of wanting to ruin his life, but like I think I would just be so bummed out, you know, that it'd be the casting anxiety thing. Like I don't know that I would at that moment trust that God had his hand in my life at all, and I'd be bummed out and depressive and would treat people around me very, very poorly.
You ever heard the story of the song Forgiveness, Matthew West song? Uh-uh. Ever heard the story behind it? Phenomenal. It's basically a story, I mean, which kind of tells this out, is that this guy was drunk driving, ran over this girl, killed her, and the mom fought to get this guy out of prison. I mean, she showed forgiveness so much that she fought to get this guy released early. And that's what this whole, I mean, the song Forgiveness, if you read the lyrics of it, you know, talks about that. But just a beautiful picture of somebody taking that to the extreme, saying, yeah, I'm going to forgive you, and I'm not only going to forgive you, I'm going to fight for you.
Yeah.
Which... I don't know that I can put myself in her shoes, but
it's hard to say if you're not there. You know, we can theorize now, but
no, I can tell you I wouldn't do it. Yeah, I can tell you, like, as it stands right now, I would not forgive that man in a Christ-like way, and I don't know that I would represent God correctly in that action.
Yeah, I want to say that I would answer C. I want to say that, but I know that given the situation, I probably wouldn't. I want to say that I'd immediately forgive the guy, and I would, you know, try and get him out of prison, try and get him out, or if not quite go to the length of try and get him away from jail or prison, go and visit him and stuff like that. I think that maybe I after a while I'd be able to do that, but I can't imagine right now being able to say C. But given the correct answer, in my eyes, I want to say C.
Mm-hmm.
I actually feel like I would. I feel like I pretty strongly that I would do C, not because it's a virtuous thing, but because I have control over that. Because, like, to a certain extent, in that situation, someone's taking control away from me, right? Like, there's things about my life that I have no tenable thing. I can't change my health at the moment. There's not. I don't know what my future looks like, right? But like a reaction that I can control, that I know has some at least virtue in it. Is that one. So I actually feel pretty strongly, not because I'm a virtuous person, because I think about it correctly, but because I feel like that is the thing which I can control that is not destructive, and something that I can offer at that moment, right? Like someone else can't offer that for me. I actually feel pretty strongly that that's what I would do, that I would do see. Yeah, assuming the guy doesn't love Jesus already. Actually, the chat makes a good point. Like, the assumption is the guy that ran into it. It's not like you can run into people with a car and love Jesus.
No, people that hit people in cars.
Obviously.
That's a good point.
Anybody who's read Deuteronomy doesn't hit people.
Lost control of his SUV, eh?
Uh-huh.
Pagan.
I tell you what, though. I think you'd struggle through all these emotions, you know, as you're sitting in the hospital bed, that you're going to, you know, he probably has a lot of, you know, obviously a lot of financial power on his. He could do a lot of things with attorneys. You know, he could ruin this guy. He could, you know, there's a lot of things that would go through your mind if you had the ability to get revenge. more than the average Joe like myself. If someone ran into me, you know, it wouldn't be in the news. No one would know the guy's Twitter account. It'd be like, whatever. But anyway, yeah, interesting. Do you have anything, Dave?
I'd say D, all of the above. Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that would want to plot revenge, and it'd be just all this self-loathing type of thing. And
then you kind of work through it. And...
Yeah, I'd work through it, and then I'd, as quickly as possible, try and make sure that the guy knows that he's forgiven. And, you know, obviously he committed a crime against the state, not just against myself. So in as much as I'd like to fight for him, he's still probably going to go to jail. And so I'd go and visit him and help care for him while he's in jail. So, yeah.
Interesting. All right, here's the last one.
What's happening?
Teacher forms relationship with a 15-year-old. A mother discovers a bunch of inappropriate texts between her daughter and a 42-year-old teacher. All right, she calls the police. The mom does, reports the text. The teacher appears at their home. This is like early wee hours of the morning, uninvited, prior to the police arriving. The dad asks the teacher to leave the house. The teacher refused, so the dad picks up a baseball bat and starts beating on the teacher. Now, to the teacher's defense, police determined there was nothing criminal in the texts, nor had any crimes been committed. Okay, they were just inappropriate texts. Here's the question. How would you respond as a Christ-following father if this happened to your family when your daughter was 15? All right. A, I would discipline my daughter for responding to the texts and remove her from the school. B, I would beat the snot out of the teacher with a baseball bat. Or C, if my daughter is 15, she's old enough to make her own decisions about relationships.
What are you saying?
Boova.
Man.
You're up.
Did you just see the look of on my face?
Spit it out, Boova.
All right. Oh, man. I would have to fight myself to not do B. I really would. This is one of the things that I'm scared of to be a father. I'm scared to have to deal with this kind of stuff. And I know that in the past I've had one heck of a temper. And I can't imagine myself where I'm at right now being able to control myself. So luckily, even if I had a daughter right now, I still have 15 years to grow to possibly become a better man of Christ, to not want to take a baseball bat to the guy. So right now, if I have a 15-year-old daughter, yeah, I'm hitting him with a bat. But if I'm looking at it from the God-fearing perspective, obviously physical retaliation is not the thing that's going to happen, because even looking at it from a worldly perspective, taking God out of it, it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't. I mean, it definitely gets the guy away from your house.
But if your problem is that the man is not injured, it would solve that.
That's true. If the problem is the guy still has a good structured face, I suppose that's a good way to fix that issue.
I mean, it's just not solving the problem that you're thinking that we're trying to solve.
Right, exactly. So your issue right then is the guy is not hurt. Violence is he? Okay, so my honest answer would, I would hopefully discipline the daughter explain how this is inappropriate, how she should act going forward, and then I would definitely remove her from the school, get her away from the environment, especially if this guy's not going to have any repercussions legally because of being found to have done nothing wrong.
Here's the thing. These inappropriate texts are one thing, right? That's one thing.
Right.
And then I feel like that's an in-house, you know, I need to talk to my daughter about that, and frankly, I need to talk to the guy. Like, I'd probably call the fella, and we'd have to go have a talk, you know.
Without bats.
What exactly does your have a talk look like?
It's none of your business, Eric. I'll tell you what, it's straightforward. That's what I'm going to tell you.
It starts with words and then possibly ends with a bat.
Yeah, and so, but like, I feel like I can lovingly lead my daughter through that. And obviously there's some things along the line that she's forgotten or I have not taught well that it was a situation to begin with, right? And so I bear a little bit of responsibility there. Now, the fella... I feel like we could have a talk and hope everything was all right. And until he shows up at my house, he has no business there.
Yeah.
And refuses to leave.
He has absolutely no business there. Now, granted, I still don't know that I'm going to go out swinging with a bat. It's just really not my style. I might flatten his tires and then chase him or something. I don't know. I'd come up with something creative, I think. No. But no. But here's it. It's a different situation. The texts on their own are one situation. The man arriving and not leaving, that's a separate situation. And so I feel like, although I'm not a proponent of the beat the man with the bat, I mean...
There's obviously something going on there.
That's you're not dealing with a rational person right now. You know what I'm saying? A rational guy doesn't show up 40 years old attempting to talk to a 15-year-old at 2 in the morning at his parents' house. That, like, you're not dealing with a regular guy that you can just, like, have dialogue with and talk him out.
Hey, Charlie.
There's something wrong with him.
Okay, I'm going to say something here.
You know, you could just say something.
I've been pondering it for the day, and I'm proposing it because I expect some sort of derision here. So, is it possible? It has to do with the age of the kid. Is it possible that a lot of the sexual problems that we have in our society is because we get married too late? So like, if people used to get married, say...
Hey, you better let the silence sink in for a minute.
Yeah.
Just let it fill the room.
My grandmother was married at 16.
Drink it up.
Now, was 33.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying. All right, it's a passive thought, but here's what I'm saying, right? Other cultures, it happens. Previous times it happens. People get married 12, 13, 14, 15, okay? There's a level of maturity, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now, you're asking people to, say, not become sexually active until they're married, biblically, but they're not getting married until they're 26 or something. Like, that's a lot bigger lift, isn't it?
Yeah.
Than get married at 14.
Here's the deal.
I'm just saying.
I think it would cut down on cheating spouses, because if you never have sex with anybody else, how do you know if the other guy ain't no good at it? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You just assume that this is the deal.
Yeah.
I feel like that cuts down on wandering eyes.
I got married early for a reason.
Because it was necessary.
Because I wanted to enjoy everything, and I wasn't going to until marriage.
Smart man.
Okay. I mean.
I think a lot of it, though, is, I mean, that society wasn't a disposable society. We're disposable. Everything's disposable. Cars, houses, everything's disposable. You have it for a little bit of time.
Okay, so give them a car when they're 8.
Yeah.
Let's do this with everything.
but think about it, though. I mean, those were made for permanence, though. Everything back then was for permanence. Mm-hmm. You know, when you were married at 15, everything was permanent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. Not a society of permanence.
Although I think I might, have a fleeting thought where I agree with Ben. The truth of the matter is like, it would be possible to stay that way. I feel like it would be impossible to return that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's already been in a disposable society, like Jerry Royce is suggesting.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to get the first couple generations and you're trying to move on back to this thing to get on board.
Well, those societies tend to be more mature at a younger age, too.
So following along, because there's a, and I get it, there's a conversation on the chat about, like, do teens make good decisions? We've kind of bred them that way, though. Like, we've bred a society where people don't grow up till they're 19.
Yeah.
Because, like, we tell them not to. And I don't mean, like, grow up like you still can't act like, I don't know, you sit in the chair properly. But, like, we've told people that they don't have to have a level of maturity in their lives until they get out of college. Your life starts when you're 23.
Yeah. Well, you don't need a job. You don't need anything. You're supposed to be on our health insurance now until you're 26.
Yeah.
I mean.
And so, like, I mean, their cultures were simply not the case. I mean, they're not as mature as they will be 10 years from then. Okay. And I don't have a full enough perspective to say, yeah, that's the right answer. Everyone's in at 14. Right. But, two-prong, I guess what I'm saying is, I feel like trying to keep a biblical standard, you got to wait a lot longer. That's a long road to haul, generally speaking.
A lot of damage is done between.
That's okay. And then number two is that, like, it's probably not fair to say people are not ready based upon the standard of which we've produced, because I feel like we are a society in which we keep pushing off maturity. You're not a man until you're 40. And you don't have to, and people aren't expected to act manly until they're 40, because we took all the responsibility from them and said, oh, you're still growing, you're still maturing, you don't have to act this way until we're done with you through our school system, and then you can act like a man.
Yeah, we bred a society where kids doing the dishes without their parents telling them to are given plenty of rewards because that's beyond expectations. That's absolutely ridiculous. We have no responsibility when it comes to our kids. We look at the kids that do a little bit more of initiative than the average C student that doesn't do much and just does the bare minimum to get by, and we reward them for being so much further beyond. In the society that we have today, I completely agree. I think that a long time ago, we would have been able to do this. But nowadays, I mean, you know, getting a cell phone at 16 is rare. We think that it's just, we haven't bred maturity for these kids. We have 18-year-olds that think that this is when they start being an adult, or they don't have anything relationship or any responsibilities till after college.
So you guys are firmly on C. My daughter is 15.
Sorry.
She's old enough to make her own decisions.
but I'll take that fella out of the equation. So
with a baseball bat.
Yeah, she can make the decision after
that. Sweetheart,
you're
15. You can make your own decisions, just not that one.
Just realize you can't date a man with broken legs. For example, that guy.
For example, your teacher, or used to be teacher, because, laying in our front yard right now.
Because you can't drive and he can't pick you up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And somebody punctured his tire. I'm not sure who did something like that. Oh, wait, I repented of that.
Maybe Tuffy.
Well, here's the deal though. It's like some of the, like we like to blame on the culture. A lot of it, I internalize a lot of this stuff as a dad. Like I do this with my own kids. I'm extremely soft on them. A little bit because they're ladies and they're younger. They're like 7 and 4 and but to like a certain extent, those ladies get away with murder in my house. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes when I'm trying to put them to bed or they're being ladies, I'm like, my kingdom for a boy that I can yell at. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause if you yell at the ladies, they cry, and then I feel bad. You know, I'm like, where's the boy? Can't I have a boy somewhere? You know, I'm like, we're gonna go mow the lawn, and you're gonna walk next to the riding lawnmower with me, hold my soda. Let's go, boy. You know what I'm saying? I can't make a daughter.
You're gonna use that. That was great.
You're gonna take grass in the face, load up on testosterone, and make a day of it.
And I'm not talking like an over masculine boy, but you know what I'm saying? A boy. You know what I'm saying? I told you to clean up your room, boy. You know? You tell the ladies that and there's a tear in their eye. I did the best I could, Dad. Oh, you know you did. Dang it, ladies.
I'm actually really glad you don't have boys now because they could probably kick the crap out of me by now.
I'll buy one from somebody.
4 years out. Go chop the wood. You're a little bit taller than the axe. Go use it. Come on.
And now for America's fastest growing game show. Secular or Solomon?
All right, you've made the serious mistake of stumbling on America's fastest growing internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. Here's the setup of the game. I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom, and the point is you need to know what comes from the Lord and what comes from your neighbor who's been drunk at the bar and thinks he's got something sweet to say. That's the nature of the show. All right, I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom. You need to tell me Secular or Solomon. If it is Solomon, you get a high five. If it is, if you guess Secular, you need to tell me a country of origin. You did not get anything right yet. No pre-high five.
Preemptive high five.
I thought the prize was a boy.
It's coming.
All right. That's the name of the game. You guys in?
We're
okay.
In.
Got okay. Snuggles on that microphone. Here we go. Bit of wisdom, number one. If you guys are playing in the chat, feel free to play along at home. You're generally a couple seconds behind, so I think you're going to be just fine on the Secular or Solomon. Here we go. When God gives hard bread, he gives sharp teeth. When God gives hard bread, he gives sharp teeth. Secular or Solomon. Dan Hudson.
That is Secular. Greece.
Greece, my food.
They love the bread.
I'm gonna go with Secular and Tanzania.
Oh, Mike says no carbs in Europe, Tanzania. Dave Herrick.
Secular Ukraine.
Ukraine. John Buva.
Secular, Zambia.
Zambia?
Yep. Africa.
You're a bigot.
Zambia.
What? Go ahead, Jared. Secular or Solomon?
I'm going to say Secular, Deep South.
That is not a country, Roy.
You have revealed
like
yourself
in the country.
As a guy that has not watched the show.
You really want to have a passport if you're going there.
Ben's got a baseball bat. Be careful.
All right, I'm going to let you go with that one time. Country. Secular Solomon, when God gives hard bread, he gives sharp teeth. That is Secular Germany.
Yes.
Oh, so close.
Who said what?
That's a point for Mike.
You guessed some sort of African country.
This is why we never let Mike do scoring.
Hey.
Point for Mike. Minus point right now. Point for Mike.
You pre-high-fived and failed. You're down 3 points.
I just got it right.
I got that, Ben.
You did not
three.
Say Germany.
You said Tanzania.
I said Zambia.
Okay, move it on. Yeah. Move it.
Secular Solomon, a king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. Secular or Solomon? Mike Foost.
That smells like Solomon, Ben. Ecclesiastes Solomon.
Okay, Dave Herrick.
Solomon as well.
Buva.
Proverbs Solomon.
Solomon.
Dan.
Solomon.
Do you care to make a distinction?
I can't be the one guy who doesn't. I was going to say Solomon, though.
King's wrath is a messenger of death.
Proverbs 18.
A wise man will appease it. Proverbs 16.
Oh.
Solomon.
Wow. That's Solomon. A negative one, Dan.
That's right.
Okay, so, all right, so hold on. Break that out, though. A king's wrath is a messenger of death. A wise man will appease it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, you got to explain
well,
it.
Well, if
boy.
A king speaks, what happens happens. If and he's all upset, you got to make him happy.
What if he's a real jerk?
Well, you still got to make him happy, or he'll die.
King.
This is why people like
ask the guys in Benghazi.
Especially
you don't
in
antagonize
our,
the king
in our culture have such a hard time with this because we don't hold anyone with that esteem.
No, that's
you know
true.
What I'm saying? We don't have kings. That's why like generally we have a hard time with King Jesus. You know what I'm saying? We don't have anything mm-hmm. that we compare to in our culture that has to do with a king that just gets mm-hmm. ultimate. You know, authority.
No, that's mm-hmm. that's true. Yeah. I think that's true. You don't think that's true, Dan?
He has a pen and a phone.
The king?
And just a lot today, of he's signing. Our president is. Never mind.
Yeah. And if you president? Want to start your own political
no,
talk
no,
show,
no, you
the time
said,
slot
I'm just
is over.
Engaging in the conversation.
It's not mine's relevant true, to the person
our,
that's
our
in the office.
Our presidency, we get rid of every 4 years.
Right.
This is nothing like a king.
Right. It's the office itself. Not, it doesn't matter who's there. He doesn't wear a crown. All right. Yeah. Secular of Solomon. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Secular or Solomon, Dave Herrick.
Secular Persia.
Persia. That's not a real country anymore, Herrick.
It
time,
was.
It's time to move on. The globe has changed.
They had an empire.
I'm going to go secular Italy.
Oh, I was going to say Italy.
Hey, Roy, this is a radio program. You have to use the microphone.
Sorry. I was going to say secular in Italy as well.
Okay.
So we're right, we get bonus.
Two are in for Italy. It's never going to need a bandwagon with Booba. Dan Hudson.
It is secular, and it is obviously India, the magic stone.
I hear stones. I think native India. Peoples of India. Booba's a bigot. Mike.
That sounds like many wives and wisdom to me. That's Solomon.
A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. I really wish you wouldn't give such ego massages to Mike Foose. That is Solomon, Proverbs 17:8.
Bigot.
Proverbs.
I'm sorry. What did you say? Bible college? Yeah. Bible college, yeah.
I didn't take the Proverbs class. Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be 10 points for me.
I did the New Testament.
Pagan Mike gets bonus.
secular or Solomon, the wolf will hire himself out very cheaply as a shepherd.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
The wolf will hire himself out very cheaply as a shepherd. Bargain shepherd, Booba, secular or Solomon?
I'm going to go secular Scotland.
Discount for a Scottish wolf.
Hey, did you hear Scotland's trying to secede from Britain? To get out of what they're both combined? What are they called? United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to start your own political show,
that's not a political statement. That was just a hey. You heard what happened?
Yeah, world affairs with King Mike.
I heard one interesting thing about. I didn't know anything about that Tracy Morgan thing. I thought I'd throw some fire.
Hey, just because you listen to NPR doesn't make you something.
All right, Dan was right. That's a foul on me.
Jared Roy.
Let's say secular Israel.
Israel. Dan Hudson.
Yeah, it's secular, and I forgot what country I had. What do we do? It's wolves.
yes. Transylvania.
What wolves? That's what I was thinking. That's in a country. this is the UK. They're hairy.
That's two countries. It's Scotland and Great Britain. Is it not?
Great Britain, then.
And Wales.
And Wales.
It's Great Britain.
I'm saying secular and Holland.
The wolf will hire himself. Wait, did you go? No,
I have not yet.
No, you're up, Parrot. Go ahead.
Okay, secular Russia.
The wolf will hire himself out very cheaply as a shepherd. Secular Russia.
What? Wow.
Dave Herrick's in with a Russia.
He saw the reflection off the wall, Ben.
That's why we high-fived. I knew that was going to happen.
How do you spell your name again? That's plus one.
secular Solomon, you're trying to identify whether you can pick out biblical wisdom or otherwise. Here we go. When you go to a donkey's house, don't talk about ears. When you go to a donkey's house, don't talk about ears. Secular or Solomon. Hey. Jared Roy.
Secular Mexico.
Secular Mexico.
He's the new Dan Hudson.
I saw a statue of a guy and a donkey at the front of my friend's house, and I know everything. Dan Hudson.
It's secular, and I'm going Kenya.
No doubt. Mike.
Hey, do you even try anymore, Ben? You know what I'm saying? What's that? The donkey in the ears and whatnot. Here's the deal. 6 months ago, they at least had a biblical ring to it.
Donkey is a biblical animal.
Okay.
It carried Jesus. It convinced people to do weird things.
I'm going to say secular and Rwanda.
Secular Rwanda. Dave Herrick.
Spain. Secular.
Spain. John Buva.
Secular Italy.
When you go to a donkey's house, don't talk about ears. Ecclesiastes 7:3. Or Jamaica. Secular or secular Jamaica.
When you go to a donkey's house, you're there, you knock on the door. Hey, he said he'd be here.
I hear him out there. I hear him.
All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Secular or Solomon? Dan Hudson.
It is Solomon 24. I mean, Proverbs 24.
Solomon. Proverbs 24. Mike.
That was actually the premise.
Dan's been harvesting from the Apocrypha. Solomon 28.
That was actually the premise of the Me and Boova TV show. I'm going to say that's Solomon. And, yeah, Solomon, that's it.
Wait, is Boova the guy who slacks and you're the destroyer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that seems like primetime radio. Dave Hurt.
I'm going to Solomon, Proverbs, but I really like the idea of being brother of a destroyer. That sounds pretty cool.
It does sound pretty cool.
It is all right.
That was the name of the guy on the white horse. Whoever is slacking his work is a brother to him who destroys. John
Boova.
I'm going
to go Solomon. I'm going to go Proverbs 26.
Jared Roy.
I'll say Solomon as well, and...
You don't have to make a...
okay.
Yeah.
Just Solomon.
You do not have to prognosticate.
Only the really good ones guess.
I'll count negative points if you're wrong.
Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 18:9. Oh. Actually, that might not literally be Solomon. Might be one of them other fellas.
Is it up for debate?
One of the other sons.
Yeah, sorry, Boova.
I unintentionally, in a sermon one time, I said, I quoted a proverb and said it was Solomon, and it was not Solomon.
Did someone write it in and say that wasn't Solomon?
It was identified. Yeah, someone called me on it.
Solomon didn't come into like chapter 10, right?
No, he fires it up.
He's just other ones every once in a while thrown in there.
Yeah, what's his name? It starts with an A.
I'm going to call him Achan, but I don't think it's...
Isn't Achan the guy that got swallowed up in the tent?
Clay? No, Achan was the guy who stole something from city.
Right, and then his tent got taken down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was the result of his theft. Him and his family. Okay. Like the toilet, like a fire of toilet. Toilet of fire.
Yeah, all right. Achan. That's him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy who stole the stones.
I feel like, hey, Herrick, you need to resolve the relationships in your life before you cause stress. You wronged me.
Let me give you a gift.
It's
very dear to me.
Thank you kindly. Secular or Solomon, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives the wheel over them. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the wheel over them. Secular or Solomon, Mike?
That sounds like Nehemiah. I'm going to give it I'm going to give it that Solomon. That's Solomon.
Dave Herrick.
I'm going to go Solomon as well.
A violent Solomon.
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 Dan.
I'm going secular proverb. Egypt.
Egypt. Watch out for the wild chariots in Egypt. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the wheel over him. There is wisdom in, I don't know, vehicular homicide. Proverbs 20:26.
I just wasn't going to go for it.
I've seen Ben-Hur.
You know, that might actually be a redemptive analogy right there.
Hit me with it.
Well, you know, you're taking wheat in an unprocessed form, and he winnows them and takes them and then puts them all over the grindstone and turns them into actually usable flour.
That's true.
Step is bread.
I was thinking Mercedes. I kind of pulled that out of context. Yeah. That's a good call.
I think wagon wheel.
That's
why
I'm
crushing somebody
with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. You got the chat. You guys giving up. But secular word, Solomon. The turtle lays thousands of eggs without anyone knowing, but when the hen lays an egg, the whole country is informed. The turtle lays thousands of eggs without anyone knowing, but when the hen lays an egg, the whole country is formed. Secular.
How much does it cost to get a new bin?
Solomon. Dave Herrick.
Secular. Let's go Yemen.
That sounds right. Boova.
Secular Bosnia.
Sounds like Osnia. Jared Roy.
Secular Germany.
Germany. Dan.
Secular. It's somewhere along the Panama Canal, though.
Panama, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's the one.
I was narrowing it down.
Panamanian.
You know, there's only one country around the Panama Canal.
I haven't been down there, so.
Okay.
You know, Dan's convinced me I'm going to a secular Chile. It's in the nether regions.
As are eggs.
No comment.
The
here we go. The turtle lays thousands of eggs without anyone knowing, but when the hen lays an egg, the whole country is informed. Secular Malaysia. Malaysia.
That's right next to Chile, isn't it?
That's in the same vicinity.
On the other side of the canal.
Yeah, southern hemisphere, sure.
That's 3 points for me.
Secular or Solomon. Wait until it is night before saying it has been a fine day. Wait until it is night before saying it has been a fine day. Secular or Solomon. John Boova.
I feel like there was a snake in there. I'm going to go secular Mongolia.
Good, good, excellent.
Secular Romania.
Watch out for Dracula?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dan Hudson.
He might ruin
it. It's Canadian.
There's no doubt about it. Canadians jump the gun on the quality of the day.
They can.
I will go, I'll follow Dan's lead again. I'm going to go secular Greenland.
Secular Greenland. Dave Herrick.
Secular Germany.
Wait until it is night before saying it has been a fine day. Make sure there's not too many good vibes in France. France. Hey. Don't overstep your bounds on good days in France.
Dan was pretty close.
That's pretty much Mongolia.
Except for it's not at all. Canada.
Here we go. Final roll.
They speak French.
Final roll. Tally them up. Double them. Divide by two. Secular Solomon. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Secular or Solomon. Jared Roy.
I say Solomon.
Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to say Solomon.
Solomon. Mike.
I've left no choice, Ben. Solomon.
Secular Zimbabwe. Herrick.
I'm going to go along with him and Solomon.
Solomon. Move.
Solomon, Proverbs 14.
Boy, you really look foolish, Mike. Death and life from the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 18. A shame on your house. All right, you've just been party to America's fastest growing, that's not proven, asterisk, fastest growing internet game show, Secular or Solomon. You can play along online if you go to lifefromthepath.org. You can catch us during the week and watch previous iterations of Secular versus Solomon, including with the likes of artists like Chandra Knutson and Righteous Vendetta. And I don't know, you can also play the, what was it, the 10 things or 5 things said to raise money on Christian radio?
Was solid.
Yeah.
That was a solid.
See how you do on that. And then there's a couple iterations of It's the End of the World as We Know It, which basically, do you know your end time Bible predictions? Yeah. But again, asterisk, non-Bible prediction.
Hey, you want to know the scores real quick?
Yeah, hit me.
Dan had 3. I had 47. Dave Herrick had 2. Booba was 17 in the hole. And Jared came out with 6. Not a bad job, Jared.
That's close.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
What put me so far in the hole?
Huh?
Whatever.
Your ways.
Booba, isn't here. When you think of people as things and not people, as not like living beings with hearts, that's how you get under the hole.
That was very profound. It had nothing to do with what we're talking about.
When you people, hey, they're not.
Change your ways because I'm going to have to add a negative 18. Talk to Ben in a reasonable way, like he's a friend.
Yeah, see what you did? You treated me like a piece of trash, like a CNC.
Hey,
like
Ben.
You just spun the thing and I said something and then you got to get your sass off about it. That's
Ben.
What you were like.
Ben, can I offer you some feedback as a friend?
Don't patronize me. Mike ducked him again.
It's negative 20, Al.
Where are the kittens? I can't win.
I'm going to win.
All right, so here's what happens to me. I'm reading tonight with my daughter. She's 7 years old and we're reading through Matthew. And she votes for the Bible stories. I love this kid. She's the best kid ever. The second one in line. No, she's not in. She bites. Well, hasn't for a while. So anyway, so the 7-year-old likes the Bible stories. We're reading through Matthew. We're, I don't know, 5-7. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're talking about, she handles murder well. She seems to understand the thing about adultery and oaths. Okay, we got through all these things, divorced. She seems to be fine with them, understands where we're coming from. And, I can't remember what got us on the conversation, but she says to me, Dad, I think about this a lot. I wonder, do I really love God? And I thought, holy cats. Like, I didn't, like, there's places, environments where you see that coming, right? Like people that you run into in the church where their life kind of reflects some kind of disarray. And you're like, well, maybe I don't really love God. Or like spiritual crises. Or maybe just honest talk among folk, say those kinds of things. I didn't see it coming from my sweet little 7-year-old girl sitting on the couch reading through the Bible, the remedial rendering of the NIV. And so I wasn't quite sure, here's what I said, okay? Here's basically, here's kind of the gist of what I try to explain. I said, well, you know, what do you mean by that? And so she kind of explains, and she says, well, you know, sometimes I still do things that I'm not supposed to. There's still sin in my life. I said, sin in my life? Who says that? What are you, 38? And so she goes, you know, and sometimes I just don't feel whether I love God. And I thought, you know, I feel that. I have that to me. Like, that's a very relevant thing to me, because there have been times, and we've kind of talked about this on the show before, where, like, you look at other people's relationship with Christ, and they seem to be much more involved in this thing.
or they feel it more. They have emotional responses where I don't have emotional responses, or like they have these what feel like very in-depth or intimate conversations that like they just don't feel honest to me. For me, if I were to have the same thing. And so there's times where like, well, maybe I just don't love God. Maybe I think I do. Maybe I get some brain knowledge and say, this is what I know. But there have been times in my life where I've had doubt and I'm like, maybe I just don't really love God. And this is a bit of a show. And like, boy, that seems not worth it. And so, you know, and she's probably not in that depth about it, but I thought, okay, like I've felt that in my life. And where I felt like I wondered if someone else's faith was more genuine than mine. Without me otherwise acting about it. And then also, I think she was looking for, she looks around at the relationships that she has, like with her parents or with her siblings or whatever, and she doesn't necessarily feel that same way with God. And her example was, is she goes, her younger sister, she said, you know, I don't know, sometimes I wonder because sometimes I don't treat my younger sister like I'm supposed to, maybe I don't love her. She goes, but one time we were at the park and I couldn't find my mom or my little sister, and I found my mom and I still couldn't find my little sister. And she goes, I was very sad, and I know that I love her because I missed her. And so I said, well, I mean, have you ever had a situation where you were going to pray and you really felt like you needed God? And so you went to him and then you felt better. And she said, no. And I said, oh, well, that was a crappy example I've come up with, hadn't I? I really set that up to fail, didn't I?
You're right. You hate God.
And then I talked through that, and so here's kind of where I came up with for her. As I said, first of all, how you feel is not always or even often reflective of what is true, right? Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean something or other is true one way or other. Some people don't feel relationships the same way. And we looked at in 1 John, we talked about John a little bit, and I said, you know, look at John says, he says, if you love God, you will follow his commandments. Basically, you're agreeing that he is who he says he is, and that when he says to do something, whether you feel like it's good, like it's the choice you would make, it's the choice God is saying to do as the king, and you're obeying those things, and that's showing love for God. That's how kind of John kind of explains that thing. And then we talked about kind of the relationship where, you know, I thought, well, she doesn't go to God for those types of things because God has set up a family structure where like her needs for those types of things are met in her parents. And where I would go to God, because I kind of get that big picture, a broader scale, like I wouldn't expect her experience is that when she skins her knee on the sidewalk is to use practically the hands and feet that God has put on the earth to raise her and say, Dad, I skinned my knee, you know, and we pray about those things But I think that that's kind of her experience is not necessarily that I would skin my knee and then say, no, Dad, never mind. I'll tell Jesus, you know. And so it's practically that's not necessarily experience. And so those are kind of the things that we talked through. And she had an example. There was someone that at school that who doesn't love that her family aren't Christ followers. And she wanted to give her a Bible. And I knew that she had tried. I'd known that. But she told me today, she goes, But I was scared to do it. She goes, I waited 2 weeks. There were 2 weeks I wanted to do it, but I didn't do it because I was afraid. I said, you know, what were you afraid of? She goes, well, you know, I was afraid that maybe she doesn't know that I love God, and she doesn't, you know, maybe she won't play with me or something. I don't know how she'd take it. She goes, but the third week is I went out and I offered her a Bible. And this is kind of a funny story because she goes up and she goes, you know, hey, I brought you a Bible. Would you like it? And then she goes, no, thanks. And they just kind of moved on. And I thought, well, solid. And I said, that was my example to her, is I said, well, in that moment, in those weeks, you thought, I'm afraid that something that I'm going to do for God is going to impact my life in a way that I don't want. I don't want to not have her be my friend or have her not play with me. I said, but you did that anyway. You still did it. And she goes, yeah, I did. I said, that's kind of what we're talking about is God is saying, this is what's best. And you're saying, I may not even agree with that, except for I'm agreeing that you're God. And obviously, you know, and I want to be able to, I'm working obedience. So, she's a mature 7, but she's still 7. So mm-hmm. I don't know, fellas, like, because it's something that I've had in my own life. And I just thinking about her age, just thinking about like the context of the discussion that we've had. What do you think? Yeah. No,
I think it's like any relationship you have. I mean, I'm in my marriage relationship. I love my wife. Sometimes I have to remind myself what that means, though.
Yeah,
I may not feel it sometimes. Sometimes I may not feel very loving, or I don't may not feel like I love my neighbor. But I it's the actions that show the love. It's the obedience that comes with it, and it's extra hard I mean, it's hard enough with people.
Yeah.
It's extra hard when the Jesus, who you've never seen,
yeah,
you've spoken to, but it's never been a two-way conversation, yeah, in that like we have.
Yeah.
So it's extra hard, I think, even for adults, but especially for children, that, you know, to go beyond, it's not just my make-believe friend, like he's real.
Yeah.
And trying to figure that out, especially at seven. I think that's a hard concept to grasp.
That was a hefty proposition, boys.
Yeah.
It was a hefty deal.
Yeah.
I mean that exact thought will rattle me for 2 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll think, man, you don't have a, do I really believe what I say I do? I'm like, I've built all this stuff up and only to come to find out that I'm lukewarm, right? Like you read that part in Revelation and I'm like, boy, he wants anything different than what I am, right? He would rather me turn my back on the thing than half submit what I'm submitting, right? And so last time I read that, it shook me for a little bit. I'm like, I feel like I want to know, you know, why I have one toe in the water. And actually the fruit of that conversation has turned out to be something very positive in my life. But, you know, I don't know that you could have handled it any different without being dishonest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really, that's all you can do. I find that the folks that I tend to grow the most in around with their walk with Christ is the ones that are just honest. I mean, honest in not only their failings but their struggles, and God washes out on the other end, and he's still king, right? And like, it always comes back to he's still king, but it's like, sometimes I have a hard time looking at the throne. Sometimes I have a hard time being in the kingdom. Sometimes I have a hard time caring what God is saying. But the truth of the matter is, he's still God, and he's still king. And no, it doesn't matter how I feel about it right now, that is still the truth.
Yeah.
And so, like, I fall back on that, right? Like, and if I could instill that, even just that thought in my kids, apart from maybe the gushy, lovey, you know, God wants to hug on you kind of thing, which I think is great, and there are people that
some
feel
people
that
express that way, and we talked about that.
Yeah, and I'm totally okay with that. I'm not saying it's wrong. That's not generally my relationship with Christ, maybe, but like, what I do know is, it doesn't matter where I'm at, he's always still God, and I always still know that. Even if I'm mad at, sometimes I'm mad at him. Sometimes I feel like he's pushing me places I don't want to go, you know. But like, I can always walk back through it and go, he's still God, Mike. Mike, he's still king here. You know, what are you gonna do? Get out of the kingdom? Fight the wind? You know, like Proverbs, get out. You know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, like, that helps me stay in the kingdom of God. And, like, I always get the hug later. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I always feel it when I did not choose to turn my back on that. And it's not like the, you know, maybe a crazy Pentecostal love, but it's still a, I know I'm loved. I know I obeyed. I know this is where I belong. I'm glad that I had that root. And so, like, yeah, I'm giving it a thumbs up. I don't know. I probably wouldn't have pulled it off with that amount of poise.
Okay, Ben, there's three things that I really like about your response.
Okay.
One is that you recognize just how significant the question was.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just you pass it off, oh, hey, that's nice, honey, or anything like that. You actually recognize this is something significant. And you also acknowledge to her that this is something that I kind of struggle with as well.
Uh-huh.
Second thing is, I like that you connected it to action. You kind of stepped away from this feeling-oriented type of love and actually looked at it from an action-oriented type of perspective. And I love that. And the third thing that I really like is that the way you illustrated it with your daughter was through a story about how she did something that cost her. Because ultimately, love is, it's demonstrated by action, but it's measured by sacrifice.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think a lot of our teenagers really need to hear, is that when a guy is coming up to, you know, teenage girl, and he says, oh, honey, I love you, you know what, you can see it in his action, you can measure it in what it costs him. Anything else is just cheap talk. So, yeah.
Okay.
Besides, the heart is fickle.
Yeah, fickle like a sheep.
I'm mad at Boover right now for unknown reasons.
You should be.
Mostly Ben, because of his negative score.
Ben, there's one specific thing that I liked about that.
Okay.
You helped me identify where I'm at in life, and I think that I am at the mentality of a wise 7-year-old.
High five.
I think that that's one of the most valuable things I've had in a long time, is I can officially say, guys, I know where I'm at. I'm a wise 7-year-old.
Yes, you are.
I'm interested. I'm happy there. So
I've been assessed.
I very much live in that area as well. I thought, we're going to walk the path, and you're eventually going to have to show me where I went wrong.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Dear daughter of mine.
No wonder everybody wants to get married at 7. You know what I'm saying? We can't seem to get out of it.
All right. You've been listening live from the path. Hey, if you're listening on 99.3 KTA, I love you, I think. I haven't met you, so I guess I can't vouch for all of you. Some of you I might chase with a ball bat. But we got to let you go because we only pay for so much time here. So we're going to have to let you go. If you're hanging out on the podcast, give us like 30 seconds. We'll be right back with you. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Let's go to what's it?
TV screen. Left side of the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, sweet. All right, guys. Who's hanging out? Who's hanging out on the chat? All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast. Sorry, we just had trying to have a conversation. Here's the deal. Jared Roy brought in, like, 10 boxes of cereal. And it's pretty distracting because you can't crunch cereal on the air, man. I mean, we're not a legitimate show, but I mean, there's a level of legitimacy that says don't eat cereal into a microphone.
Sorry.
And so it's
next
it's,
time gummy bears.
It's extremely distracting because all I think is like, is that what I would have golden cream? That's all that's in my mind. And hey, and it makes me think that the guys, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch guys. Are like the crazy uncles of the Snap Crackle Pop guys.
Actually, I always thought they were at like the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, they don't get along.
Yeah. Okay. So like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch guys
they
are
look
called
like chefs,
something.
Don't they?
Yeah, they look like chefs, and they're always fighting with the Snap Crackle Poppers. Like when they're not busy. Did I ever tell you Ben and I's idea for a TV show? So we were gonna have a show about you ever seen those guys on like the pedestrian walking signs? Like it's just a just a straight up black looking fella. You know, he's just all black and no hands, no feet, right? And like the show was about that family, and that's what he does. He poses for signs, right? And so like he goes through, you know, throughout his day, like he posed for the crosswalking sign. And if you ever seen like if you're around a bunch of industrial machinery, like he always gets wrapped up in the moving parts of a tractor, and half his legs are thrown over somewhere, and his torso is like flying around. I'm like, that's a rough day at the office, you know. But then he's got to put himself back together and go back home. Sometimes the whole family works when it's a school crossing; all the kids are involved. Anyway, sometimes he has to really like go 45-degree angle and haul down some stairs for a fire sign. I think it would be genius. Anyway, I'm good at stories.
I like it.
All right, so a couple of guys got Pope Style. What do you got?
Okay, mine's quick, actually.
Okay, yeah.
What's the premise of Pope Style?
Yeah, okay, so here's the deal with Pope Style advice. Someone has, we're going with, at the local bar, some, scurrilous high school friend of yours, not friend, told everybody at the bar that you were the Pope. And so they all get together, they call their friends, and now there are 8,000 people on your front lawn waiting for you to come out and give some Pope-style advice, where you get out on the balcony in the square and you give some sort of pontiff type of advice. And they're not going to leave your yard until you do it, Mike. So you got to give them some bit of wisdom that has some relevance to yours in their life, so it's an honest outlook. Otherwise, they're never going to leave your grass and your petunias will never grow. Pope-style them.
Ready?
Yeah.
It's quick. 90% of your problems with your relationship with God is tied up in how you treat other people. Wham! That's my Pope style advice.
That's an accusation.
Yeah. That's how I give advice.
I hope my daughter cause and effect backwards on that.
Yeah. No.
Thanks
that's
for really
the deal.
Partnering with us to get us past this.
Here's the deal, and like it's true on actually both the flip flip sides, and here's why, I was thinking about this the other day because we were talking about last week on the show. A lot of people are, and this is myself included, get caught up in sin-oriented relationship barriers with Christ. Like, if I could just get rid of this sin, then my relationship with Christ would be great, and we would be firing on all cylinders, and everything would be awesome. And really what it, this is going to sound weird, right? But like, when you focus solely on your sin, which in the Bible actually describes is that you're going to do. Like, you're going to do that. Okay, you're going to sin, right? And so when you focus solely on your sin, now you've taken your sin, elevated it, and then selfishly spent all your time on it. and spent no time like doing the second part of loving on God's people. And really, what it boils down to is if you take the specific sin in your life, and you know, we could probably go through them one by one, but like there's a couple, three, four biggies, and you took your area of sin where it's at, and focused that on spending, you know, that time with other people and being generous with other people and loving on other people, whether it be whether your problem be with money or whatever, then I think you would find, A, you don't have time to sin like you used to, and B, God will glorify it, and because you will both be loving on his people and showing Christ's love through yourself.
Just a question. Isn't like, you know, we talk about how what worry is, you know, and worry is obviously a sin, but do you think that we take that when we're Christ followers and we move forward and we start worrying, we take that worry away from things of the world and we start worrying about things of God, and we take that worry and we just kind of, we move it into a different category in our lives and we say, okay, well, I'm not gonna worry about these things anymore because I know God's got me, you know, for this, but now I got to worry about this stuff.
Yeah. So we've taken worry out of worldly context so that it's not sinful, but then we made it righteous. It's a righteous worry.
Yeah.
I'm worrying about the right things, Lord. Isn't that what you wanted?
Yeah. So then when you say cast your cares upon him, okay, those cares too? All right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's a downfall of a healthy Christian life is just shifting, is basically sanctifying the problems of the world and turn them into Jesus' problems. Like, as opposed to being prideful about the things that the world glorifies, we just find, you know, religious stuff to be prideful about or religious things to worry about. And we just kind of shift the lens of the sin without actually dying to it and giving it away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my post-op advice. And maybe that might be a lot for me. But like, I really find that your opportunity to sin goes way down when you spend time. I'm not talking about like random people you never met. Like, we really like to get on board with the random acts of kindness. If you do kindness all the time, you will eventually hit a random guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of them will fall on people that you know, but you will randomly end up hitting somebody.
So the random acts of kindness are, to a certain extent, like, in the right connotation, or kindness vandalism. I mean, it doesn't, there's not, the, it's not the same amount of risk as actually getting close to someone and being kind to them and investing in their life, right? Like, you can chuck a loaf of bread at a homeless guy and say, win for the day. You know, that's different than investing in that guy's life. You know what I'm saying? And so, as much as it makes you smile to see kindness vandalism, it's a different level of like actually having some sort of relationship with someone and spending time in their life.
You know, that's the thing, is actually the people that have blown me away are the folks that like I look at as like, man, they did a random act of kindness, you know. And the truth of the matter is, I just happened to run into them that day. They do it all the time. Like, you can't stop them from doing weird crap like that. They're hunting down people at the holidays they don't know with like $50 and be like, you know what? I walked in here. I said, Lord, let me look at a guy. I'm giving him $50, and the Lord's like, "That's the guy." And I go, and then they give $50, and I'm like, "You seriously do that?" "Oh yeah." Sometimes it goes over awkward, but we do it. We do it every year. I'm like, "Every year? Like, this is outrageous." You know, it would take me 2 years to gear up to do it once. But like I said, those are the folks that absolutely blow me away. Is that you know, they never are doing a random one time act of kindness. They do it all the time. I just happen to witness it.
They're
once.
Living a life of kindness.
That's
you
right.
Randomly stopped in.
That's right. I just happen to be passing through their TV show, and then I'm written off the next episode. You know, but that's my Pope style advice. If you're having a hard time nailing down certain you know, sins in your life, things that are separating you from the Father, first of all, that is definitely a prayerful, a Bible reading conversation. But if you want to put some action steps into that, take up your time with other people for a little while.
That's an idle hands problem. Like, it's not just, hey man, it's good if you do work. It's like, if you keep your, I don't know, section your time off.
Yeah.
That's why nunnery is an effective means of living.
I used to have a very clean bathtub for almost that exact reason.
Yeah.
Anytime I felt like a sin was coming, I'm like, time to clean the tub. Yeah. I went through like 3 bottles of Comet when I was a teenager. It's terrible. Every week.
All right, Booba, you got some post style. Let's have it.
I do indeed. Mine's going to be actually quick, rather than saying it's quick and then it takes a long
time. I wasn't
really
finished yet, if we're being honest.
So this is coming from some experiences that happened the last couple weeks, and then also some Bible reading, and then some outside of the Bible reading also, which I try to draw from that the least of which. But
I was reading Angela's Ashes, and I have the following thoughts.
I was reading the local funnies, and I thought to myself, "Oh, Marmaduke, I can take a lot from you."
I was about the screenplay to the Golden Girls.
I know Angela's Ashes. So I was teaching the Revelation class at the youth for the youth on Sunday, and it was in the Spanish room at the school. And Angela's Ashes. I was looking through the novels because I'm an English guy, and I'm like, oh, I haven't read that. And I actually read Angela's Ashes. And I really liked it, but I hadn't seen that book forever. So. Anyway, continue.
All right, thank you.
Pope style me so I may
pope
go.
Pope style. So apparently the people at the bar that were talking about the Pope said that there's two possible popes because they left Mike's house and they came to my place.
Dude,
and...
how apropos of today's society. Continue.
There are actually two popes.
Nice.
Yeah. I got a joke for later. Don't let me forget.
10,000 people more have crowded because they found out it was my house.
Two popes in a bar that is not a joke is a crazy circumstance. Continue.
I like it. So I kind of realized in my life, if you're always the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. I kind of had to humble myself this week. So I promise that'll make sense. Okay. I kind of had to humble myself this week. Oh, I didn't kind of. I really had to. I love to teach. I love teaching in many situations. I always find myself at least trying to teach. Maybe not in the right places, but I try to. And very recently, I realized that I rarely submit myself to be taught. And I rarely find myself submitting to be the student. And I find that going on more and more recently. I teach for a living. That's my job. And I find myself loving it. And I do it a lot. But like I said, I find myself not very often submitting myself to be the student. And obviously, I saw a huge problem with that this week. I saw a huge problem with the fact that I'm perfectly willing to put myself above, not necessarily in like a societal stature, but I put myself above people to be able to teach them. But I don't humble myself enough to sit down and say, I don't know. I do not know. And I need to just back up and shut up. And that is difficult for me. I talk way too much. I put myself out as a very knowledgeable person way too much when I don't know a lot of stuff. And I really had to humble myself this week. It was awful. I hated it the whole time I was doing it. And I felt like I was letting people down. But I know that it was better for the people around me. And I know that it was better for myself to just submit myself to be taught and to learn from it. And especially when it comes to my relationship with Christ, I try and surround myself with people that I can learn from because of the fact that I'm definitely not the pinnacle and I never will be. And at all times in my life, I need to be learning. And at all times in my life, there's always going to be someone I can learn more from. And I want to get a head start on that. And I want to get a head start at 22 years old on the concept of I never want to be always the right guy. I want to be the person who is able to be taught. And I really drew from that last week or two. So it goes back to if you find yourself always as the smartest person there, leave. Find yourself to be the person who can be taught. Find yourself to be the student because it's so beneficial in life to always be learning. And it's so beneficial in your walk with Christ to surround yourself with people that are further in their walk so that you can learn what it is at least to be a little bit further in the walk. Not necessarily surrounding yourself with perfect people and never deifying the people around you, but always knowing that there's something that they're doing that's better than you. And take that with the way that you can learn from that to become more of a Christ-like man and become more of a man after God's own heart who fears the Lord. So that's my Pope style this week.
Herrick, did you have thoughts on that? Your eyebrows said, I might have thoughts.
I was just thinking, man, maybe I should leave the room.
So this is me announcing that I'm leaving the show now. Obviously,
I started my own show.
I've been here as the smartest person in this room for years.
Political problems with Boova and Dan.
It's been years and it's been fun, but I got to find another crowd that I can learn from, okay?
You know, there's a deceit in that where, like, you get to the point where you're, like, where you're basically following your advice. I'm going to learn from other people. But, like, there's sometimes a deceit where you feel like, what you mean by learning from other people is sitting as they talk and you agreeing with them as like a colleague. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a level of, and you see that a lot in professional development stuff and probably in the pastorate where you're like, you get to a point and you're just like, yeah, no, I agree with that guy. I've had that same experience where it's still about you. Like it's still about what that guy's saying is about, you know, your experience and he's agreeing with your life as opposed to you actually like submitting humbly to someone who's doing something that you're not doing. And it may not be in the way that you do it, and it may be in a totally different thing than what you're up to, but like God can do both.
And it's interesting, like, when your mind is willing to open up and say, hey, man, I'm doing this thing this way. That guy's doing something crazy different. But the Holy Spirit rocks, and he'll do what he wants to do. And be able to take that in and actually submit to the power of the Holy Spirit that can do that. Like, that's an awesome perspective on life that sometimes we miss, because even the risk becomes, first of all, doing what you're talking about. And then second of all, like, the method of which you do that sometimes isn't actually really, like, submitting to someone else teaching. You just be like, oh, yeah. We're the same still.
And it's funny to say this, because this is what you do when you guys are on the radios. You're thinking about the next thing to say.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of like that little comic strip. You ever seen it where, you know, people are sitting around a computer watching a YouTube video, and the entire time everybody else is like, oh, yeah, and I got this one. I got this one. I got this one.
Oh, yeah.
This I can show you. It's kind of like that whole thing. It's like, mm-hmm. In every conversation, if that's what you're consistently thinking, is like, hey, I'm going to say something right after he gets done with that. I know I got something to add here.
Yep.
So, but I think that's like the next level of that is living – complete silence inside.
Yeah.
You know, to say, okay, yeah. You've got something.
I feel like
have.
I'm there. Yeah. All right.
It's all kind of blank.
Every fruitless conversation I've had with my wife is because I was intent on me making sure that what I had to say was heard. Now, here's the deal. If I thought of it, 50% of the world has heard it. And, like, within that world, 50% has heard it. That's pretty good odds. I should let that go. You know what I'm saying? Like, half of us understand what I'm saying. I feel like that's pretty good. What's the retention rate on spoken word? 10? Mm-hmm. I'm awesome. I've got to learn to let that go and not be like, no, she needs to understand me. All right. That's good advice, Boova. Mike, you got some Dear Life from the Path?
Okay, ready? Dear Life from the Path.
We've got time for like two.
Okay. I accepted a request from my brother to watch his cats while he was across the country for a few months.
This is good.
During that time, one of them matured and started marking his territory all over my house. The dilemma was quickly taken care of with a trip to the vet after permission from my brother. My brother now insists that because I accepted responsibility for the cats in every way in his absence, that I shouldn't expect reimbursement for professional carpet cleaner I rented or the vet bill I paid for neutering the cat. Am I out of line to expect to be paid back? We have agreed to abide by your response.
Your brother's a cheapskate.
Yeah, your brother's a schmuck. Yeah, seriously.
I've actually with
Boova. You're stuck, but the worst scenario is the fact that your brother's a cheapskate.
Yeah, I think I'm with Boova. He's not only a cheapskate, he's a legit schmuck. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Hey, man, you respected you inherited financial responsibility of my cat when you took care of it. I'm not going to reimburse you for anything. What kind of jerk says that?
That's like me dropping my kids off at my mom's house, and then they steal her car, running into a fence. I'm like, sorry, Ma. You wanted to babysit the kids. This is what comes with it. Destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, your brother's ridiculous.
Okay, let me maybe save some time. Is anybody pro-brother? Does anybody fall on the side of, no, that sounds reasonable.
No. Dan, if you're about to say anything besides no.
No. This is ridiculous.
Okay, let's see if Secular has some heart for him.
First of all, we've got to give her some advice. Take the cats to the vet and bill it to him. The room and board. What do you call that when you board a dog?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me your brother's name and address.
Yeah. I'm done with your cat. Pick him up in the vet. It'll be very pricey.
I'd say, hey, if you're not going to be home, we'll just leave him at your place. I'll feed him. And that's it.
Yeah. And I know a good carpet cleaner. You're going to need it.
Here we go. It says, Dear Secular says, tell your brother to start writing the check now. If he'd had to board his cats while he was out of town, it would have cost him a lot more. You were kind to help him out. And he should be ashamed of himself for trying to stiff you. Hiss.
Ooh. Oh man, that's rough.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path. My sister-in-law is in a barbershop quartet. While I appreciate the artistic effort of what she does, listening to it bores me and I don't enjoy it. I feel like I must go to her recitals because she makes a point of inviting my husband and me. I have an ethical dilemma. Should I be honest with her and say I don't enjoy sitting through 2 to 3 hours of a cappella tunes? Or should I be true to myself and admit I'd rather stay home and catch up on my reading? What would you do, Life from the Path?
Hello.
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 Hello. My wild Irish rose.
Okay, hey, so
we're 1 hour and 59 and a half minutes until a full concert.
Actually, that's what I thought.
Oh, so go ahead.
I was just saying, that's what I thought. 2 to 3 hours of barbershop quartet is enough for anybody.
She needs to get over herself. Every parent goes to 4,900 concerts that are really poor quality. You know, you never go to an elementary school band concert because it's like quality, or choir concert, or drama.
It's
because
someone in the trumpet section is going to wind halfway through, and you're going to go,
was that a tuba?
This is grown up.
It says
yeah,
sister-in-law.
Though, right?
Yeah, but still, I'm just saying life is filled with, sometimes you just do things, that's that sacrifice. What would you say, really? That was pretty clever, the love thing.
Love is measured by sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's like, do you love this person or not?
So this has happened like once every 2-3 weeks. That's ridiculous. I'm not going through 2 or 3 hours of barbershop quartet 2 to 3 weeks.
Concert that I used to be a part of. It was an annual.
Okay, yeah, but once a year I can see myself. Okay, fine, I'll go sit through this for 2-3 hours.
They're required once a year.
If she's like,
concert.
Yeah, we go and meet at the local nursery center like every two three weeks. You want to come to all of them for the next couple years? No, absolutely not. I'm going to tell you, hey, you know, I appreciate where you're coming from. I'll come to a couple, but no.
Hold on, you're not being fair here though, because like you look at the person that has to go to these barbershop quartet concerts and go, stop being so selfish. Go to these things, right? Except for the guy that's inviting you constantly to go to boring concerts. Why isn't that guy being selfish? It's like me inviting you to me building card houses all the time. I mean, how long do you want to watch me sit there for 5 hours?
I would say no, tower? Mike.
I feel like it's just as selfish to continue to invite people to boring things.
I feel like once a year I can handle it.
What, it's every month? Monthly?
No. That's too much.
Too much. Can't do it. Yeah.
Every 2 months.
I would not...
My love knows no bounds except for monthly.
I'm going to do it once a year.
This person needs to get over themselves, except for if it's every month. That's outrageous.
If I'm being honest and I have to prioritize my time to every month make sure that I make time for 2 to 3 hours of barbershop quartet.
I don't...
No.
What can you take your book? Is she going to see you from the stage?
It's usually dark.
You're still hearing it.
Well, I don't know that it's grating to my ears. It's just more like it takes up... The sheer amount of time. I wouldn't go to things that I enjoy for 3 hours every month. Yeah. You know, I don't have time for that.
What's wrong with just being honest and saying, hey, I don't terribly enjoy it, but I'll go for you.
Once a year.
Once a year.
But she wants to get out of it, though, Herrick. Like, it's not being honest about it. If she's going to be honest, she might as well be honest and not go.
Yeah. If she wants an out, she needs to be honest and not go.
She
but
just
I think
has a childish way of saying it. What about me? What about me? It's like,
I'm bored. Yeah. Okay.
I should be true to myself.
Yeah.
I am not barbershop to the core.
Are there any other ways I can fit myself into this story?
I think I would just say, look, I can't go to any more of these things.
I don't care for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you want to come out to, take adults, right? Let's say someone came up and said, hey, man, we play softball weekly. You want to come out and check the games for the season?
No.
We're like, I might swing by. I'll try to get to one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like... No, I'm not coming out for the season. I got other
stuff. Out and watch your grown man softball.
Got other stuff going on. Actually, I'd like to play softball, but I could commit to like one. That's where I can commit. And like past that, I don't hate you. I just can't make it.
Yeah. Go. Okay, so what's our advice on how to get out of this barbershop?
Yeah, here's what I think you do. First of all, I think you say, hey, just to throw it out there, I don't really enjoy barbershop. I mean, I don't really care for it.
My thing is usually less offensive.
Well, what do you mean it's not my thing?
Yeah, why not?
It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
Exactly.
I can't do it.
Okay. Jared, do you have experience in people telling you they don't want to come and see your barbershop quartet?
It's the Society of the Preservation and the Encouragement of the Barbershop Quartet Singing in America.
Exactly.
It's PBS USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I am a member.
We bought out Hancock Fabrics of every striped piece of cloth I had.
Look out, straw hat fedoras.
I punched 2 World War II reenactment nurses just to get the last bit.
Okay. Yeah, let's boil this down to some more.
Yes, tell the truth.
Some broad sweeping advice. Just say, like, here's the deal. You should go to one. Go to one.
Yeah.
If it's every month, that's too much. If one is suffice, say, look, that was great. I probably can't make the next one, but I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. Done. Yeah. Right? I still love on you.
I can't make it or I don't want to make
I'm
it.
I'm not coming. No, I would say if you can't, that's a lie. Say, I don't think I'll make it. That's true.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think I will.
But then if you show up and she knows you hate barbershop, she'll know you're there for her. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Even better. I like it.
Yeah.
What's Secular got?
Secular says, I'd try to be tactful. Instead of saying you would rather stay home and catch up on your reading, say instead that you have different tastes in music. Oh, yeah. That's a veiled, non-offensive thing to say.
Hi, family who I grew up with.
That's also true.
I have different tastes.
I hate that you like to participate in vomit music, and I'm going to go home and do my thing because you're terrible. Yeah. That's what that sounds like.
Vomit music?
Here's the thing. People smell placation, and it's insulting.
True.
It just is. It's insulting to say that. Just say, I don't want to come to this concert. That's honest.
It's gotten worse, too, because like we are a society that's getting used to being advertised to, right? So like we're used to people telling us things, either true or not true, either about ourselves or about society around you. And like I think people just aren't – they're not standing for it anymore.
But we're also the same society that lets people go on to American Idol and stuff like that who can't thing and not be honest.
They didn't ask me.
Well, I know.
Call me at home. I'll tell you whether you stick or not.
It's back to the honesty piece. I mean, that is, I mean, yeah, you do a great job and you guys sound good, but I really, you know, that's not the kind of music that I listen to, and I don't really, yeah.
You may or may not sound good. I
just feel like, you know, I think Ben's right, though. Like, with the level of advertising, I mean, look back 20 years ago, there was a guy with six-pack abs running down the beach smoking a pack of Newports. Everyone knows that doesn't happen. The guy who smokes a pack of Newports is sitting there on the lawn chair watching the guy go by. And so, like,
20 years ago, you thought, yeah, that could be me.
Yeah, that could be me. Look how white his teeth are, and he's got a hot woman, and he's running down the beach smoking a pack of cigarettes. You know what I'm saying?
I get this prescription, do I get a puppy?
That's outrageous, you know. But that's I think that's the truth. In a highly advertised society, you could smell placation. It's exactly why, like, I have a hard time finding youth material for the youth group, because they're so... They can smell when they're being advertised to, because they're advertised to so much. And, like, they can smell it coming a mile away. So as soon as you even take what you wanted to say and put it in a 20th or a 21st century font, they're like, whoa, I call foul on you. You're trying to trick me. You're trying to get down on my level, and I don't like it.
Yeah,
I find you very suspicious.
The fourth wall of advertising is gone. People recognize tactics, right? Like, oh, red, that's supposed to draw me in. Because the news now does stories on how people are advertised to. So, like, that fourth wall is gone, and people don't – they want information, and they accept advertising invading into their lives, but they want to act like they're not influenced by it, or that they're at least suspicious of it. So, like, you end up advertising in nefarious ways, like social networking. Anyway.
Here's what Secular says. Secular says, be tactful. Instead of saying you would rather stay home and catch up on your reading, say instead you have a different taste in music than she does, or that you have other plans. If this would make you feel guilty, consider putting in an appearance every once in a while. Yeah, okay.
We live in a society where Secular says, if lying makes you feel guilty, there's an alternative. They have to say that. That makes me... that's ridiculous.
Lying should make you feel guilty. Because you told lies.
Yes, but the fact that she's saying if you feel guilty about lying and not just assuming that you would.
Why is honesty an alternate lifestyle?
Well, get you in trouble. People don't like that. Hey, man, your nose is big. That hurts your feelings.
Yeah.
You want me to act like I didn't see it? I saw it, too.
It's due to your ethnicity. Whoa. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't.
Who does that?
Yeah, you can't do
nobody.
That.
Nobody.
I'll do it.
My daughter does. I mean, she's, but she's little. I mean, you know, she can get away with it.
Yeah, actually, one of my kids told me when I walked in, she goes, did you smell this bad at work, too? All right, then. All right, yes. Yes, I did.
You've been listening to Live from the Path. Hey, big shout out to our sponsors, Westfield Veterinary Hospital here in Johnston. For all your pet care needs. Hey, they just launched a thing where you can get your pet records online. Like, so you can keep an eye on your on the medications and, like, the times they've been in. Just like they're doing for people.
So yeah. Is this like an animal ancestry.com now?
I don't know if you get lineage. Oh, like, you're going to have cool. to keep guessing whether it's a border collie.
Okay.
But, like, but their health records are online. You can get that through Westfield Veterinary Hospital. I saw that today. It's pretty cool. Also, to Bob Eisenhower, the Eisenhower Tomb, go to EisenhowerTeam.com if you're buying or selling a house. Bob's the guy to go with. He's awesome to deal with. He'll shoot with you straight, and he knows the market, man. He knows what's a good deal, what's not a good deal. He'll help you find it. So go to EisenhowerTeam.com. You're looking for Bob Eisenhower. Thank you so much for joining us this week. There's something going on next week. I'm not aware of it, but we'll be back on the air. You've been listening to Live from the Path.